Blog Talk Radio.
It's 3 p.m., and I have a question for you. Do you know where your politicians are? Everything is political in your life, from the moment you're born to the moment you die. And when a politician tells you that's not true, look in your pocket. You'll find their hand in it. Everything is political. We will be talking to those politicians that are working for you and talking about those politicians that are working against you. Just because they're a Democrat, or just because they're a Republican, and you voted that way your entire life, maybe you were wrong. Because everybody is not what they seem to be. However, there are a few out there who are working for your benefit, and we are going to bring them to you. We're going to let you hear them. We're going to ask them questions. We're going to let you ask them questions. And we're going to be discussing education system, the military, science, music, sports, oh, and health care. Do you have it? Do you need it? Are your 26-year-olds still on the family health care plan? Or, as the regressive party says, Obamacare. We will bring you what you need to know, because this is the last word. And everything, from the cities, counties, state, nation, the entire world. So sit down and get a pencil, paper, and take this graduate education experience. And we will make sure that you have the last word. My name is Michael Lawson.
In a Fox News interview yesterday morning, senior White House advisor Jared Kushner criticized protesters who mobilized after the killing of George Floyd, and also said this.
There's been a lot of discussion about the issues that were needed in the black community for the last years, but particularly it intensified after the George Floyd situation. And you saw a lot of people who were just virtue signaling. They'd go on Instagram and cry, or they would, you know, put a slogan on their jersey or write something on a basketball court. And quite frankly, that was doing more to polarize the country than it was to bring people forward. And one thing we've seen in a lot of the black community, which is mostly Democrat, is that President Trump's policies are the policies that can help people break out of the problems that they're complaining about, but he can't want them to be successful more than they want to be successful. And what you're seeing throughout the country now is a groundswell of support in the black community, because they're realizing that all the different bad things that the media and the Democrats have said about President Trump are not true.
Shauna
Wow. So I guess that's why they don't let him talk in front of cameras much? That's shocking on so many levels. Shauna, why don't you just take us through all the shocking things that Jared Kushner, by the way, a kid who inherited millions and millions of dollars, was born in a multimillionaire, and his daddy paid his way into Harvard, talking about black people not wanting to help themselves.
Yeah, the level of condescension there is a little bit off the charts. And I do want to say something. In the last hour I was on with Casey and way too early, and I realized that one thing I said was that maybe Jared Kushner doesn't understand his words. I was literally condescending Jared Kushner the way Jared Kushner was condescending black Americans. And the difference is, okay, I thought about that and I realized that, and he needs to take responsibility for his words, and hopefully he will talk to someone and try to understand how what he said came off. But two, hopefully he can learn from this. I'm not holding my breath on that, but hopefully he can learn. He can learn that the George Floyd situation wasn't a situation. It was the death of a man caught on camera as someone, you know, held him down for minutes and minutes and minutes that we all saw. But I also think one thing that happened over the summer, along with the protests, along with the conversations about police brutality and reforming police departments, was people put up these black boxes on Instagram and companies put them up, right? And the idea was about listening to the black community about the problems, about systemic racism, about their lives, about how they feel every single day in this country. And it is clear that even though Jared Kushner apparently is having conversations with Ice Cube, and maybe something will come of that, he is not listening to what people are saying in the streets. And maybe he is distracted by, I wish he was distracted by COVID, because if they were doing something on COVID that was actually concrete and made sense, that would help the black community. That is one mm-hmm. thing they could do. But he doesn't appear to have heard any of what people have been saying and screaming out in the country for the last 4 or 5 months or years and years and years. This is not a new problem, but the new light on it, I think, has caused a lot of white people to actually listen and think about this. It would be nice if Jared Kushner could take that into his heart ever so slightly.
And stop and think. He talks about virtue signaling. Sometimes people just actually stop for a moment after they watch a man choke to death for 9 minutes, and they sit. And they start looking at all the things that have happened through the years
mm-hmm.
and start asking whether we can do better as a country. And maybe Jared doesn't understand it, but, you know, there's the old saying out of Kill a Mockingbird where you need to try to walk another mile in a man's shoes to understand what he's going through. Well, that's not even what was asked of any people this year.
Just
ask that they stop and think about what's happening in this country and how we can make this country a better place. And Jared Kushner, I mean, what he said was nothing short of outrageous. And I wonder if Ice Cube, Ice Cube associates himself with all those remarks, associates himself with the Charlottesville remarks, associates himself with the shithole country remarks. I guess Ice Cube associates himself with Donald Trump calling Hispanics breeders. I guess Ice Cube associates himself with Jared Kushner saying that Donald Trump can't help black people if black people don't want to help themselves. I guess that's what Ice Cube associates himself with. Nice career move.
Yeah.
Nice career move, Ice Cube. That's really something at this stage when you have seen such racial animus coming out of the White House being stirred up. Somebody like Ice Cube or Kanye West are deciding, yeah, hey, it seems like a good move to back Donald Trump and Jared Kushner. Let that one sink in.
Look,
thanks for checking out MSNBC on YouTube, and make sure you subscribe to stay up to date on the day's biggest stories, and you can click on any of the videos around us to watch more from Morning Joe and MSNBC. Thanks so much for watching.
Well, I took that straight off MSNBC, and I had time to edit it. But can you believe this man? Can you believe this man, Jared Kushner? Can you actually believe him? Can you believe? I mean, is it so sad that he says these things? Is it sad? I mean, it's just so sad. How can this is what people elect for their president. This is what the people elected. This is what they've elected. And this is what they'll get.
Donald Trump is a narcissist, and he's an egomaniac.
A narcissist at a level
I don't think this country's ever seen.
His narcissism outweighs his ability to do the baseline of politics.
We need someone with a servant's heart, not someone who's a narcissist.
Extreme narcissists like Donald Trump, there's a smallness too, a pettiness, a petulance.
Grandiose notion of self-worth, pathological lying, lack of empathy and remorse.
I think there's pretty strong evidence that he's a psychopath.
You walked into the party like you were walking.
My looks.
Can you believe it? This is what the man said. It's my looks. That's the secret. My looks are the secret. That's right. That's what he feels is his secret. Can you believe that? This is a man. I mean, I can't. There is so much shit that's going to go down when this man loses. I'm telling you, you haven't seen nothing. When this man loses, you will be shocked at what goes on. You will be shocked at what goes on. I mean to tell you. Ooh. I was talking to a gentleman today on the newspaper, Charlotte Post. One of the brothers, Robert Johnson. And, I'm telling you, you're going to be shocked at what goes on, because this man has actually this man has screwed up this country so bad. When we get to see what this man has done, I'm telling you, it's 3 days and a wake up. 3 days and a wake up. So this, 3 days and a wake up. And now, a lot of you won't know what I'm talking about. Well, in the military, Donald Trump wouldn't know because he was never in the military. And neither one of his stupid kids have ever been in the military. But 3 days of a wake up. You know what that means? 3 days of a wake up to the vote. Because you got Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And Tuesday, you wake up. And you find out this nightmare is over. We used to say this when we're in the military. I was overseas, Vietnam, Da Nang, Philippines, wherever I was. He'd say, how many more days? Oh, you count down. 10 days and a wake up. You got 11 days left. Days, not nights. See, that's why we say, and a wake up. And then he says, the next thing we'd say was, going back to the world. Where are you going? I'm going back to the world. Because where we were at was not the real world. That's right. They're going back today, 3 days of the wake up, going back to the world. That's all you would say. You go into the bar, you go into the club down there, and they say, how many more days? 3 days of the wake up, 10 days of the wake up, 5 days of the wake up, and I'll be going back to the world. You weren't in the world. Because that was not the world. That is not how you needed to live to survive. My brother was in the Pleiku in the Marines. And they say that same thing in the military, in the Marines. I was in the Air Force. But he say that's all we were talking about. How many more days? 2 days and a wake up. And you know what? When you were getting shot, we got shot when we were in Da Nang doing the Tet Offensive. But hey, I had a Marine. I had an Air Force bodyguard. Hey, bullets were flying, so what? Didn't bother me. We had a dorm. We had the only dorm. We had the first dorm that had a bar in it. As long as we were RO, that means OR, I should say, operational ready. We had a couple of drinks. The only bar, you worked 12 on, 12 off. When you got operational ready, you were shipped someplace that you didn't want to go. You can bet your last dollar on that. But, hey, we went with the planes because nobody could take care of the F-4s and the 111s that were over there, operational, ready, on the radar. We couldn't. Only ones that could do that. So the thing was that those were the days. Boy, that's why I had to play Carly Simon. I had to play Carly Simon because that song reminded me so much of how many more days before we got the hell out of here. Before we got the hell out of here. I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. Before we got the hell out of here, that was the deal. Donald Trump in Vietnam. Listen to this.
Donald Trump over the weekend said about John McCain, I guess he's a war hero. Okay, he got captured. I like people who weren't captured. It's unbelievable every time I say it. Okay, so now the question is, what was Donald Trump doing during those same years? Because he was actually old enough to serve in Vietnam. Well, Smoking Gun did a big story about this. We're going to tell you what the facts are in a second. But first, of course, we're going to go to the bombast of Donald Trump. Martha Raddatz asked him about this on ABC. Let's go to his answer.
I had for student deferments, like many other people had during the war or around the time of the war. I had a minor medical deferment for feet, for a bone spur of the foot, which was minor. I was then entered into the draft because if I would have gotten a different number, I could have been drafted. I was fortunate in a sense because I was not a believer in the Vietnam War. That was another war that was a disaster for this country. I was entered into the draft and I got a very, very high draft number.
That wasn't until 1969. The lottery wasn't
right.
Until 1969.
Right.
You had many deferments.
Excuse me. I was entered into the lottery, the draft lottery. If I would have gotten a low number, I would have been drafted. I would have proudly served. But I got a number, I think it was 356. That's right at the very end. And they didn't get, I don't believe, past even 300. So I was not chosen because of the fact that I had a very high lottery number.
We'll analyze that in a second. But first, more from Donald Trump's campaign. They put out this statement. While attending the University of Pennsylvania's prestigious Wharton School of Finance, Mr. Trump received a minor medical deferment for bone spurs on both heels of his feet. Let's pause there for a second, because he was asked, oh, bone spurs, in which foot? And he's like, oh, I don't remember. Hey, wouldn't you remember if it was a medical deferment that got you out of a war? That seems like pretty serious business, right? So in the statement afterwards, they're like, yeah, it was both feet. Sure it was. The statement continues, the medical deferment was expected to be short-term, and he was therefore entered in the military draft lottery, where he received an extremely high number, 356 out of 365. It almost sounds like he's bragging about his draft number. My draft number, like my bank account, was extremely high. Like, he's trying to say, like, oh, I would have gone after I was done with the Wharton business and I was done with the bone spurs in whichever foot. Oh, then I totally would have gone. Oh, I'm sure you would have. Get back to that in a second as well. He says, although he was not a fan of the Vietnam War, yet another disaster for our country, had his draft number been selected, he would have proudly served, and he's tremendously grateful to all those who did. And he'll show how grateful he was in a second. So, Smoking Gun looks at the records, finds out how many deferments he actually did get. Was it one? Two? Three? Come on, dude. No, not three. Four? Can't be more than four. Five. Nice job. Tying Dick Cheney. Five deferments out of Vietnam. He prefers people who weren't captured. One way to not get captured is not to go at all. Always thinking. Okay, so Smoking Gun explains. The son of a wealthy real estate developer, Trump received four student deferments that were followed by a 1968 medical deferment that came a few months after he graduated from the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School. And Politico explains that despite the campaign statement that it was expected to be short-term, there is no evidence in the records of it being dropped before the draft lottery in 1969, referring to the deferment, the medical deferment. So there's no evidence that he ever let the medical deferment go, okay? And he said, oh, in fact, here, let me give you more from the Smoking Gun. In fact, in the December of 1969 draft lottery occurred about 18 months after Trump graduated from the University of Pennsylvania, where he studied business at Wharton. So while claiming that he would never forget being at Wharton, watching the draft numbers being drawn, the 64-year-old Trump seems to have misremembered, as candidates are fond of saying. So he was saying that, oh, I remember it being at Wharton and I saw the draft number and I thought, oh, it's high, okay, good. No, that happened 18 months later. He says he dropped the medical deferment. No, he never dropped the medical deferment, okay? It was completely and utterly full of crap, as always, right? By the way, in the midst of arguing that he should get a medical deferment, he was participating in three different sports at Penn, right? Gets out of Penn, all of a sudden, oh, bone spurs, right? But while at Penn, doing three different sports, you're going to love this. Baseball, okay, great. Tennis, and squash. I do declare the bone spurs didn't really prevent him from playing squash while at the University of Pennsylvania. Squash, anyone? Oh, Vietnam. Bone spurs. I mean, this one. Both of them. Okay. Now, you know what Trump was doing at the same time? Great article in Washington Post today. He was partying it up in New York City. He said that when he got out of Penn, he only had $200,000 in his pocket. In today's money, that's $1.4 million. He only had $1.4 million in his pocket. That doesn't count as daddy's money. By the way, how did he get the $1.4 million? From daddy. He said, oh, he worked hard at his dad's businesses over the summer. You remember when you worked over the summer at your dad's businesses? And wound up making $1.4 million in pocket change. You remember that, right? And he says, no, but he also had a hard time in those days of Vietnam. He said he had trouble sometimes. It was dangerous going to collect the rent. He says sometimes people got upset when he went to go collect the rent. No wonder his dad had to give him $1.4 million for summer work. I mean, that sounds like it was a dangerous job. What was John McCain doing at that time? When he ejected out of his jet, which was shot down in North Vietnam. He had broken both arms and one of his legs. He landed in a lake and had to swim out in a 50-pound backpack. Once he gets out of the lake, they bayonet his foot on top of that, and they break his shoulder with a rifle butt, okay? Then they go to set his arm, and they don't set it in the right place. They do it without Novocaine. And then they break his arms again later. In 1968, while Trump is living it up in Manhattan, McCain is trying to figure out how he can walk again in a windowless room. And this guy questioned the service of John McCain, saying he prefers people who weren't captured. Trump said at the time, now these are, of course, he talked about this in his book much earlier, but these are the same periods of time that are now being put together by the Washington Post. And Donald Trump said that he used to go to a place literally called Le Club. I'll see you at the Le Club. It's your birthday, okay? He said he would see seven models at the same time having sex on the tables. He said he would see 75-year-old businessmen with three Swedish models having sex. At the time, he was reported by, and he admits this, he says it, he would walk around town in a burgundy suit. He had desks of rich mahogany, okay? And he went around in his daddy's limos with only $1.4 million when he came out of college, though. And he dared to say that John McCain was not much of a war hero because he got captured. Amazing. So what did you do for Vietnam veterans, Donald Trump? Well, he has an answer for that, too. His campaign said, many years later, Mr. Trump was responsible for the building of the beautiful Vietnam War Memorial in Lower Manhattan, for which he contributed a tremendous sum of money. In other words, I did a nice memorial for the people who died for me when I decided to go to the Le Club and play squash instead of going to Vietnam and dying like they did. And look, his comments are in some ways funny. In other ways, they are atrocious. Don't forget who this guy is. This guy is scum, man.
Hey, that's not me saying that. I didn't say that. No, I did not say that. I did not say that. That wasn't me. I'm only telling you some of the things that this man has not done. That's all I'm telling you. That's all I'm telling you. All I'm telling you is some of the things that this man has not done. That was it. That was my Vietnam War remembrance. Stay strong. Just remember, 3 days and a wake up for everybody in this country. 3 days and a wake up, and we're back to the world. Back to the world. Thank you, Michael Jackson. He was rocking back then in Vietnam, too. But you have to remember. Try to remember how it was before this man got here. Try to remember how it was before this man got here. President Barack Hussein Obama and Vice President Joseph Biden together a miracle from where your retirement and your Dow Jones was so far in the tank, it was shit. It was down close to 6,000. What is it today? 28? 20,000 when this fool orange man in the White House is soon to be in an orange jumpsuit came into office. It was on the way up. This man hooked his hooks into the upward movement. He didn't create this upward movement. It was going up anyway. It was just along for the ride. What made him mad was when Barack Hussein Obama, 44th president of the United States, told him, "What was your big accomplishment on your TV show? You had to choose between two losers. And you chose the worst of the losers. That was your big thing. And you said, you know what? I can buy my way into the presidency because most people in this country are stupid. And you know, he showed us he was absolutely correct. He was going to buy his way into the White House and erase everything this black man, Barack Hussein Obama, who's probably still the most admired man in the world, is going to erase every single thing he did because the racist information that has ever been pushed against this country, the racist information he has done. He pushed the most racist, hateful information that has ever been done on this country. He has pushed it. He's pushed it so long, it's outrageous. This man has pushed this information down our throats for so long. It is so horrible. But it hasn't come from him. He is only a person who's a vehicle that has pushed this racist, hateful information. He has only pushed what his father has told him to push. He didn't know any better. When you've grown up, become a racist, and you're grown up to be taught that you are better than anyone else. This is what happens. This is what happens. And when you are in the situation where you just say, hey, I just do what I do. Frederick, and this is, did anybody notice what Frederick's middle name is? Christ? That's the father of Donald Trump. Frederick Christ Chump. Trump. But it's really Drumpf. That's their real name, you know, Drumpf. Frederick's father changed the name when he left Germany during World War One. Well, you know, he came to the country before World One, and he made millions of dollars. Well, it was hundreds of thousands of dollars back then. It's millions now. And he left, took all the money, and left to go to Germany, back to Germany. He said, "Oh no, he said, this is, I would love to have you. Wonderful." But we're starting a war now, and we need you to come and be in the military. You know, we'll give you a commission. You're like, hell no, I ain't going to the military. You must be, well, I'm sorry, if you can't go in the military, then we'd like to have you contribute to the war effort. Not that we'd like you to have, we demand that you contribute to the war effort. And, you know, he said, oh, yeah, I'll do that. He packed his bags like a daggone thief in the night, grabbed his wife, who was pregnant, I guess, with Frederick, and they left. They left in a heartbeat. Oh, yeah. Left in a heartbeat. And they ride back to New York, and this man is so racist. He was the head of the KKK in New York City. And they had a major thing in I believe it was 1927, in New York City, where 1,000 police officers were, some were killed and so severely wounded. He put together over 1,000 Klansmen, and he marched through the Jamaica neighborhoods, through Queens. He was never pointed, the finger was never pointed at him, that he was the daggone leader. He said, I was just a bystander. Bystander my ass. Bystander my ass. His father was never tied to it. But he was, in fact, one of those contemptuous, racist thugs. And then, you know, they did the big thing here, and he started building buildings here, and this is the father. Frederick. I mean, he took millions of dollars. He wouldn't have any black people involved. No. Never. And they tried to make sure that the father was never involved. He had people over people. I mean, it was a terrible sight then. I believe it was 1927, I'm not 25, 27. But Anyway, he grew up like this. He grew up this way. So what do we have to look at this when this man about being racist? This man was so racist, it's the words don't even get out of my mouth quick enough to say, I'm from New York, I know this man. Anybody in New York at that time knows this man. Anybody who's in New York knows this man. Knows how he was. Knows what he did. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And then you get this, the fool, the son who he did not like because he thought he was stupid. Both kids are really stupid. But Don Jr. is the shorter one of the two. One is blonde. He's really stupid. But the other one, he has taken over and is running his father's business. Not really running his business. His father, Trump, is still running the business. Now we're approaching 1,000 people a day that is dying. 1,000 people a day are dying. And Junior was on. He's on Fox News with that station that he started. I forgot what he was on there with. Fox News with that crazy nitwit female host. Anyway, he said, "Hey, man, this stuff is all garbage. There's not a thousand. Don't believe your eyes. Believe me." Don't believe what's happening around you. The Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, they are lying to you. Listen to my father. This thing is going around the corner. It's going down. It's almost nothing. Those numbers are nothing. Because we got control of it. We have control of it. Nearly 90,000 new coronavirus infections are happening every single day. Starting yesterday, the highest single number total in a country since the pandemic began. Hell else do you want? I mean, it's gotten so out of control, and he has gotten out of says, we test so much that we have the best testing in the entire world. And our testing show that the deaths have gone way down. We're more testing than any other the cities in Europe, the countries in Europe. We have less cases. Well, that is so ludicrous. We're having starting yesterday, over 90,000 cases a day. We're up to over 9,100,000, 9,200,000 cases in the country. 9 million. What is this man talking about? $9 million a day. He said, and don't worry about the hospitals have great capacity. We have much more better capacity than Europe. Yeah, that's true. And it's being filled. I mean, what are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I mean, it's this man and had the nerve to say, but he said it worse than his father said it. He said it worse than his father said it. The man is a complete psychopath. I don't believe that Don Jr. is. I think Don Jr. is trying to help his father win because they know that they will lose every single thing. Trump already doesn't have his slush fund ready anymore. The slush fund that he used to call his, you know, his, what's that, his operating unit? Yeah, he doesn't have that anymore. They got rid of that. He was on Laura Ingraham, that's what I couldn't think of. He was on Laura Ingraham's show. It was Thursday night. And and he was asked about Dr. Sanjay Gupta's recommendation that anyone who attends a campaign rally for the president self-quarantine for 2 weeks. Listen, this is what he says. I mean, give me a break, Laura. The reality is this. If you look, if I put it up on my Instagram a couple of days ago, because I went through the CDC data, because I kept hearing about new infections, I was like, well, why aren't they talking about deaths? Oh, because the number is almost nothing. 1,000 patients are dying a day. It's nothing. 1,004 died yesterday. 1,004. I bet you there ain't nothing to their, to those people's families. I bet you it's not 1,004 is not nothing to those families. Over 228,000 people have died already. That number is nothing. Four times the number of Americans killed in the Vietnam War. Double the amount of Americans that were killed in World War One. How about that? And this punk sits home. We, you know, we all thought that when we got out of the war, and I call the war Vietnam. That's why we said we're going back to the world, because all these people getting killed over here. That shit don't happen in America. Bullshit. It has happened in America. Because we got people who don't give a damn about you. Who don't have a moral fabric in their body. President tells you, don't worry, if you get it, you'll get better, look at me. I got better. Yeah, he only had 12 doctors looking at him every freaking second and fed him the most, I guess, sophisticated drugs we could imagine that you can't get because they're not on the market. That's how they take. We protect the President of the United States, even if he's a moron. He got the best care imaginable. Do you think you'd get the same care that he got? Do you think that you would have 12 doctors at a time looking at you every single second of the day? Of the day. The best doctor in the world. They did contact tracing to find out where the hell he got it from. Would they do that for you? How could they do that just for you? How could they do that for your sister? I mean, I don't know how they could do that.
Well, you could do it if you had money to spend.
But you notice this man didn't spend his money. He didn't buy a health plan for this. He's the president of the United States. That's all that needs to be said. He's the president of the United States. Now, if you were multi-billionaire, you'd be able to spend your money. But you know what? When it's 88,000 cases reported now, as of yesterday, a day, what do you think it would cost you to get the same responses and help if you got the virus? How much money do you think it would have cost you? According to you, you had the money. This is all medicine that isn't on the market yet. This is all, and President, anybody can get this. No, anybody can't get this. You got it because you were the president. His son probably would not have gotten it. But 228,000 who died, they wish they could have gotten it. The same medicine you got. I'm telling you. It's unbelievable. It gets worse every single day. It gets worse every single day. What do you think is going to happen when it's time for you to be sick in the hospital? What do you think is going to happen when it's time for you to be sick in the hospital? And here's a fate that I just can't just... It gives me shivers. We are looking at a major transfer, and here's the problem. How are we going to get it from people who don't know what the hell is doing? How are we going to get what we need when there's a transfer of one government to the next government? I mean, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do when we have to transfer everything that this man has been doing . What are we going to do? The problem is there's going to be so much shit. So much that this man has done, we will never be able to see unless we get on this like white on rice. The next attorney general is going to have to hire at least 10, 5 to 10, a special prosecutors of 5 to 10 U.S. attorneys in every state to look at the federal books. Look what they have not been doing. Because I'm telling you right now, there is a whole lot of shit going on. A whole lot. This man has screwed us so bad that it's going to be almost impossible to get to the bottom of it.
There are a number of motivations for President Trump to seek re-election. Among them may possibly be a desire to avoid the laundry list of legal problems he may face once he's out of the Oval Office. The U.S. Constitution does not establish whether or not a president can face criminal prosecution, nor has the Supreme Court addressed the issue. However, the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel has long held a sitting president cannot face indictment. That is the policy upheld by Special Counsel Robert Mueller after his years-long investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 election. Due to that policy, first established during the Watergate scandal, Mueller chose not to charge Mr. Trump with obstruction of justice, although he did not exonerate him either. The president has often tried to get the Justice Department to fight on his personal behalf. His latest attempt came this week in the defamation suit filed by writer E. Jean Carroll. She alleges Mr. Trump raped her in the 90s. A federal judge denied the DOJ's attempt to defend the president, saying Carroll may pursue the suit against him as a private citizen. Still, Attorney General Bill Barr has often been willing to at least try and fight those battles, but that protection goes away if the president loses this November. And if Mr. Trump does lose, a cascade of pending lawsuits and criminal charges may all strike at once. David Yaffe Bellany examined this issue for Bloomberg News. He's a reporter covering the federal courts and joins us now from Washington. David, welcome. Thank you for being with us. Let's start with potential criminal charges. What issues could the president face?
So President Trump faces the threat of criminal charges on two different fronts, basically. There's a possibility of federal criminal charges brought by the Justice Department that would likely target some of the misconduct that's sort of widely known, like the instances of possible obstruction of justice that Robert Mueller outlined in his report on Russian interference in the election. Federal charges could also focus on the campaign finance violations that resulted in Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, being sent to prison. Those are the kind of federal level threats. The Manhattan District Attorney, Cy Vance, is conducting his own investigation at the state level, exploring what seems to be the possibility of kind of broader misconduct by Trump and his businesses, possible bank or insurance fraud. So on both those fronts, President Trump will be vulnerable if he loses the election.
And so do you believe that some of these prosecutors are just waiting to play their hand, just hoping to sidestep this issue of executive privilege altogether?
It's possible. It's certainly the case that one of the reasons that Trump never faced criminal charges for the possible obstruction of justice documented in the Mueller report was this kind of longstanding Justice Department policy policy against indicting a sitting president. So in theory, that obstacle is removed once he's no longer president. Now, there are all kinds of other reasons that federal prosecutors might still want to avoid bringing that type of case. It would be politically explosive. It would likely consume the early months of the Biden administration. So I don't think it's necessarily the case that prosecutors are just biding their time waiting for Trump to leave office. There are all sorts of other considerations that could come into play.
Okay, and David, what about possible action against the president's businesses? How could Trump Inc. face legal issues?
Sure. So Trump's companies are under investigation in sort of two separate jurisdictions in the state of New York. The New York Attorney General, Letitia James, is conducting a civil investigation of sort of real estate dealings by Trump's company. At the moment, like I said, that's a civil matter, and so it wouldn't result in criminal charges, but people have speculated that she could uncover instances of criminal misconduct, and potentially the investigation could switch gears at some point. So that's one threat facing the president. Then there's also the Manhattan District Attorney's investigation that I mentioned, which is also looking into Trump's business dealings, and in particular, those kind of broad categories of bank and insurance fraud. We don't know exactly what he's examining. It's an ongoing investigation. We can just sort of surmise from what the office has said in court filings that those kind of broad categories of offenses are under consideration.
And David, earlier we mentioned the E. Jean Carroll lawsuit. Are there any other legal actions pending against the president for his personal conduct when he was a private citizen?
Yes, there are a whole slew of civil lawsuits filed by various people against Trump alleging various forms of misconduct. His own niece, Mary Trump, has accused him and his siblings of defrauding her out of her inheritance. So that's a case that could speed up if he's no longer president and isn't able to cite his responsibilities as president as an excuse for not complying with various requests. A group of anonymous investors has also sued him and a couple of his children, claiming that he basically advised them to invest in a marketing scheme that eventually went belly up. That's another case that could accelerate once he's no longer president. And in addition to E. Jean Carroll, he's been sued for defamation by another woman, Summer Zervos, who also claims that she was sexually assaulted by him and that he defamed her in the course of denying those allegations.
All right. Well, David Yaffe-Bellany, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.